Press Review on Radio U.
Good morning, good morning, everyone. I am Haikel. Welcome to today's Press Review on Radio U. I am an exchange student here from Brazil at U.
And my name is Mine. I'm from South Korea and also the exchange student in U.
Thank you to Julia, who is directing today's program. Now it's 9:40 in the morning here in Milan, and the weather is pretty cold, colder than last week. Last week we were lucky with the temperatures were higher.
Yeah, we're excited to be hosting today's program and bringing you the latest headline from all around the world. Right after our international news press review, we're going to share some local news in Korea and Brazil.
And don't forget, we want to hear from you. Reach out to us at 331-1438-923 with your thoughts and questions. Today, we're talking about
Russia and U.S. talk about the war in Ukraine and also U.S. immigration policies. Yeah, so we're going to talking about that issues. You can read more about us in radioum.it and follow us on our social media, Radio Yum. So grab your headphone, relax, and enjoy today's show.
You're listening to
Radio Yum. Welcome back to Press Review. Today we're bringing you two major topics, and let's start with Russia and U.S. talk about the war in Ukraine. According to The Guardian, Trump administration has decided to pull out the International Center for the Prosecution of the Crime of Aggression against Ukraine, which was formed to investigate the responsibility for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This comes 2 years after the Biden administration had joined, pledging to hold Putin accountable. The center was focused on prosecuting crime related to aggression, with the U.S. contributing to its investigation. But now they're stepping back. Tensions between Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky have been growing, and Trump has been critical of Zelensky, even suspending military assistance before it was restored. The U.S. also seems to be reducing its role in prosecuting war crimes related to the invasion.
Yeah, that's right. And about this topic, the Washington Post informed that the President Donald Trump and the Russian leader Vladimir Putin are set to speak on a phone call today to discuss the ending of the war in Ukraine. The dialogue happens with the United States seeking Moscow support for a 3-day ceasefire proposal. Trump announced the planned call on Sunday, stating that there was a very good chance of reaching a deal. Last week, U.S. officials said the ball is now with Russia's court after Ukraine agreed to the ceasefire deal. Putin has so far resisted fully endorsing the U.S. proposal.
And move on to BBC News. Donald Trump mentioned that he and Putin was discussed topics like land, power plants, and dividing of certain assets when they talk about a potential peace deal for Ukraine. Moscow confirmed that the call is happening but hasn't said what exactly will be discussed. U.S. officials are trying to sound hopeful about this ceasefire, but Moscow's tone is very confident. Meanwhile, the EU's foreign policy chef Kaja Kallas says Russia isn't really interested in peace. On the ground, fighting continues with drone attack from both sides. And Ukraine claims Russia is still pushing to invade the Sumy region, which is near Russia's Kursk area. Ukrainian troops are facing tough situations, with some even describing their withdrawal as catastrophic.
Now moving on to a deep down into a subject that we do. In the immigration topic, since Trump's return to the White House, yesterday, BBC showed that Trump government has deported more than 200 Venezuelans alleged by the White House to be gang members. Trump made this decision contrary to a court order, and in response, Trump spokesperson denies deportation were illegal and says White House is confident about the decision.
Yeah, and how did the U.S. president manage to go against the court order? BBC News explains that the announce on Saturday, the signature of a proclamation invoking the Allied Enemies Act of 1798, as he accused the gang Trent the Argoa perpetrating, attempting, and threatening the invasion of predatory inclusion against the territory of the United States.
This act was used during World War II, and it is a broad law that allows the detention and deportation of natives or citizens of an enemy nation without the usual processes.
Venezuela criticized Trump invoking his act, saying it unjustly criminalizes Venezuela's immigration and evokes the darkness episode in the history of humanity, from slavery to the horror of the Nazi concentration camps.
So now let's sing to the song of ABBA before going to our Brazilian and Korean news. The song is from, it's Mamma Mia from the movie. To Radio Yume. You can follow us in our social media, Radio Yume, and reach out to 331-1438-923 to talk to us. Now, from the other side of the world, I bring some Brazilian news. On March 15th, last Saturday, it was completed 4 years since José Sarney's inauguration as the first civilian president after military dictatorship. Today, the Senate in Brazil will promote a tribute celebrating these 40 years of redemocratization, according to the official site of the government. On the other hand, a protest in favor of the amnesty for January 8 riots was called by the former president Jair Bolsonaro on Sunday, 17th of March. Currently, Bolsonaro and other 35 accused are under investigation for involvement in the coup attempt in January. According to the news website G1, the team of the protest was 1 million. Once they were expecting a huge support. However, at its peak, the protest had only 18,000 as estimated by the researchers from the University of São Paulo. The site also showed some inconsistencies about this number. The military police from Rio de Janeiro affirms that the number of people was 400,000, and the Datafolha Institute points to 30,000. Even so, G1 highlights that the amnesty theme is not a topic for the streets or a daily concern for the Brazilians. About the amnesty law itself, BBC News explained better what the project says and how it affects Bolsonaro. The jurist heard by the newspaper affirms that the law project can benefit people who are directly, indirectly involved with January 8 riots and even with other acts before and after that. In that way, the amnesty could indeed favor Bolsonaro as he is accused of being the leader of this organization that would have tried a coup attempt which resulted in January 8. In practical terms, Bolsonaro would be pardoned for all of his accusations. However, even if approved, the project would not be able to make the former president eligible again. Once his ineligibility was determined by the electoral infractions already judged by the Superior Electoral Court. Another important detail about the project is that the measure could also benefit who mobilized acts on the social media in favor of January 8. Political articulations for the project were made by this past week too. For example, the Liberal Party filed a request for an urgent vote on the amnesty law. We will keep you informed about any updates on the team. But now it is time for some Korea international news with Minnie.
Radio Yul.
So let's move on to the hot news topic from Korea. First up, let's talk about the big shift happening in South Korea. A recent report from the VDEM Institute has raised concerns about the country's democracy. According to their democracy report 2025, South Korea is facing a significant backslide. After President Yoon Suk-yeol declared martial law on December 3rd, the country's democracy score took a hit. This move has sparked criticism, with the report highlighting disinformation, political polarization, and loss of freedom of expression as key factors. South Korea's score on the Liberal Democracy Index dropped to 0.63, putting it at 41 among 179 countries. This is a sharp decline from last year when Korea was classified as a liberal democracy. Now it's labeled an electoral democracy, a term that suggests it still holds elections, but has seen a loss in the protection for civil liberties and check on executive power. And just to put things into perspective, nearly 40% of the world population is now living in countries where autocratization is happening. So yeah, it's a pretty intense global shift. Shifting topics into more light one, let's talk about fashion. And I've got some exciting news for all you fashion lovers out there. One of the hottest trends this spring in Korea is the midi skirt for girls. Celebrities are already rocking it, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Take for example, Jang Won-young from the K-pop group IVE. She recently showed off a stunning pink midi skirt at the airport, and yeah, that became super famous after she wore it. And speaking of K-pop, there's another exciting update in the entertainment world. Moving on to the entertainment segment, Jennie from Blackpink has just made waves on the Billboard 200 chart with her first full-length solo album, Ruby. It landed at number 7, which is huge. She's now the third member of Blackpink to break into the top 10 as a solo artist, joining Rosé and Lisa. Her album has sold 56,000 units, with 26,500 of those coming from physical sales. But what makes Ruby so special? Well, it's inspired by Shakespeare's play As You Like It, and the theme explores birth, love, and faith. The album includes tracks like Mantra, Starlight, and Soul City, which blend Jennie's unique style with the emotional theme. If you haven't checked it out yet, you might want to give it a listen. That's for today's report. You're listening to Radio Yulm.
Radio Yulm.
Yeah, and that wraps up today's press review on Radio Yulm. We hope you could catch up latest hot headlines and our local stories from Korea and Brazil.
And don't forget to follow us in our social media, Radio Yulm, and check out more about our content in radioyulm.it. If you have any doubts and questions, reach out to us on 331-1438-923. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for tuning in.
Until then, take care and keep exploring the world through news.
You're listening to
Radio Yulm. See you next week.
Press review on Radio Yulm.